You know, the Bible tells us in the book of Romans, and it's especially, of course, in Romans thinking about the Old Testament, but of course it's true of all Scripture. We're told in Romans chapter 15 and verse 4, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope." A Bible-believing Christian, a born-again Christian, a blood-washed Christian, must of necessity live in the Scriptures and by the Scriptures if we're going to find our way through this life and live with assurance and faith, overcoming difficulties, going on through trials, and coming through the other side with a smile and a song in our heart. The born-again Christian who neglects the Bible, who neglects hearing it preached, or who neglects reading it, neglects meditating upon its truth, that person is leaving themselves open to serious problems and difficulties. And that is why we're told to read, to study, to learn, to memorize the Word of God. Of course, Job is the great example of a child of God under the sustained attack of the devil. Job is the great example of a child of God suffering affliction in this life and in this world. And Job, of course, is the great example of the suffering and persecuted child of God seeking to go on with God and coming out the other end in triumph and in victory. Job's name is synonymous with trouble. And I want to just speak to you for a few moments this morning on the subject, when trouble comes. When trouble comes. If you look at the book of Job with me, and if you look at chapter 5 of the book of Job and verse 7, we're told the truth. You know, I often say, and I believe, that the greatest book on human psychology is the Bible. And the Bible's divine, it's not humanistic, thank God. But if you want to know yourself, read the Bible. Of course, if you want to know God, read the Bible. But even knowing ourselves, how the Bible knows us through and through, it is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing asunder of both spirit and soul. What a book we have. And here in the book of Job, chapter 5 and verse 7, it says, "Yet man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward." And we all know how that when you light a fire, how the sparks fly upward. I was sitting last night, it was just coming up at 8 o'clock, and all of a sudden, without warning, we lost our electricity. And it didn't come on again to 1 in the morning. And whatever plans I had to be shelved. And we were sitting by candlelight. But we didn't have our fire lit. I lit the fire. And I saw again the sparks flying upward. Now God says that man is born unto trouble just like the sparks that must fly upward. And then in the book of Job chapter 14 and verse 1 we read again a verse. "Man that is born of a woman is of few days and full of trouble." It is clear then that as we live our lives, and although we be Christian, we're not exempt from trouble. Troubles will come. We will face trouble of one kind or another. Sometimes troubles are like the dripping of a tap. They may be small, but they come one after another. Sometimes troubles come like a flood tide out of nowhere. And they sort of overtake us and they confront us and maybe leave us bewildered for a time. How we are so often in the place where we are troubled and we're afflicted. Now, the Lord, thank God, in the Bible has given us instruction for such occasions. The Lord has not left us without a witness. The Lord is your friend in trouble. The Lord is your help in trouble. The Bible says a very present help in time of trouble. And as I study the book of Job, and I see how Job faced this trouble, how he came through this trouble, and how he triumphed in spite of this trouble, then I'm greatly encouraged, even though troubles may come my way. And I want to leave with you this morning, from the book of Job, five principles, if you like, that we can take to our own hearts and lives, and when trouble comes, we can do what Job did, and I believe we'll know great help. First of all, I want you to see in chapter 1 where we read together, I want you to see, first of all, verse 6, there's a little phrase that says, "Now there was a day." You know, we don't know what a day will bring forth. We don't know. We can go to bed at night and all seems as it was and all seems well enough. And the next morning we can be faced with great trouble. I remember just a few years ago, 3 years ago, going to bed on a Friday night, and on a Saturday morning the phone rang. It was the post office in Newtownards looking for my brother, wondering why he hadn't come in to work. I'm a postman too, and I was off that day. And I remember my brothers and the father who was alive then were all outside the house. This was about seven. No, it would have been earlier than that, maybe half six in the morning. They were getting ready to go to the motorbike racing. They're all great motorcycle men. I never bothered with it. I was on the back of my brother once, and that was enough. But I remember that morning, I remember hearing the commotion. You know, we found my brother. He had shot himself. He was dead in his own room. How troubles come. How troubles come. Unexpectedly, sometimes powerfully, leave us bewildered for a time. I'm sure I'm speaking to folks today, and you have experiences yourself in life. Troubles came. You didn't want them to come, but as the sparks fly upward, they came. There was a day. And then we read, of course, in on down this portion in verse 12, there at the end of verse 12, we read, "Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord." Now the thing about that is, Satan went forth, remember, to attack Job, to afflict Job, to bring trouble upon Job. Job was at that occasion the special target of the devil, under God, of course. Now what did Job do when troubles came? You know, we read there how, you notice this phrase came up again and again, "whilst he was yet speaking, whilst he was yet speaking, while he was yet speaking." One after another, as the survivors came to tell Job of the calamities and the troubles that had come upon his farm and upon his family, you could nearly imagine Job saying, "Surely, surely this is not another one." But one after another they came. What did Job do? That's what I want to find out this morning and share with you, so that you and I can apply these principles in our own Christian life and triumph by the grace of God as Job did. Number one, Job worshipped God and blessed the Lord's name. Job worshipped God and blessed the Lord's name. Look at verse 21. Here he's receiving the news. He's hearing the trouble. He's feeling it in his soul and in his heart. And he falls upon the ground, verse 20, in worship, and said, "Naked came I out from my mother's womb. Naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And the first thing, the very first thing Job did when he faced the trouble was he worshipped God and he blessed the Lord's name. Now here's the thing. Can I ask you, do you think that was what the devil wanted Job to do? It was not. What the devil wanted Job to do was curse God. And so we learn a great lesson, don't we, here, when troubles come of whatever nature they might be, the best thing to do immediately is just take a moment and get in your mind and in your heart and soul, get the Lord into the situation and worship and praise Him and thank Him. You may say, that's hard to do. And you may think, well, when trouble comes, the last person I'm thinking about, or the last thing I'm thinking about, is God and His worship. My friend, this is so important. You know, have you never found this experience, that when you're in some kind of trouble, or you're in some kind of trial, that you're tempted to think, I'll not bother going to church today. I'll not bother going to the prayer meeting today, tonight. You know, that's the very time we need to go. To get into this, the very place and the atmosphere of the worship of God. To lift their hearts and souls, even though we're in this trial and in this trouble, to lift their heart again to the Lord and understand that God's on His throne. That we're in God's hands and under God's care. Well, Job wasn't aware of all that was going on between the devil and the Lord. But we'll see in a moment, Job trusted God. And that's what we must do. We must keep worshipping Him. We must keep blessing His name. That's what Job did. Job continued to worship the Lord. You know, to be honest, the very first thing to do when you're in trouble is to do nothing. The great temptation when trouble comes and calamity comes is to all of a sudden panic, and maybe in our panic to step out of the will of God or do something that's not God's will at all. The best thing to do is to do nothing. Just do nothing for a moment. Just take stock and continue to worship and bless the Lord. You know, Job said, and how difficult it must have been, he says, the Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We should remember that. You know, the Lord takes our family. The Lord takes our friends. Death comes. Let's always remember it was the Lord gave in the first place. Never forget that. There's two sides to that. The Lord gave. And we can be thankful for the gifts of God. Even family and friends. The Lord gave them. The Lord has taken them. And blessed be the name of the Lord who gave them and the Lord who took them. Let's remember God. Let's continue to worship Him. And let's continue to bless His name always. Oh, we're so tempted to forget God. Trouble comes. We're so tempted in our bewilderment to leave God out of it all. You know, when you leave God out of it, small things can become great things. I'm a Newton Ards man, and I can put it like this. When you leave God out of it, Scrabble Hill looks like Mount Everest. But when you bring God into it, Mount Everest looks like Scrabble Hill. Because God's so great. God's so good. So there's the first thing. Mark it down. Job worshipped the Lord and blessed the Lord's name. But let's look secondly at what Job did in his trial and in his trouble. Let's go to Job 13. The book of Job, chapter 13. You know, Job had these three friends who came, and then there was the fourth younger person came, and they done some talking. And for a strange reason, you may think the Holy Spirit has recorded it all, which I often find strange. When you come to the end of Job, you know what the Lord says? The Lord says, those men never spoke right by me, as my servant Job has done. And I used to think, bless us all, if they never spoke right, why is it all recorded for us? But you know, behind it all, if you study it out, behind it all is this. Job believed in justification by faith alone, and his three friends didn't. They believed in some sort of works religion, that you're justified before God by your works and your obedience and what you do and what you are. But thank God Job held on to justification by faith, by the grace of God. But let's look in Job chapter 13, and let's look at verse number 15. Here's Job in his trial and his trouble, and he says, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him, but I will obtain mine own ways before him. And then Job 23, look at Job 23, and I'm sure these are familiar verses to you. But in Job 23 and verse 10, he says, but he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot hath held his steps. His way have I kept and not declined. What's Job doing here? The first thing is he worshipped God and blessed the Lord's name. The second thing he did was this. He trusted God and held his way. He trusted God and held his way. You know, Job didn't make... Now, let me say this. Job isn't perfect in all this. Because you'll find that Job in his trial and trouble, and it was heaped upon him in that sense, he did curse the day he was born. He did question the providence of God. But of course, how would we have fared? Let's not be too hard on Job. How would we have fared? But I see, thank God, secondly here then, that Job, nevertheless, he trusted God. And he's holding his way. You know, Job, when the trouble came, he didn't decide, that's me finished with Christianity, I'm going to become a Muslim. He didn't suddenly decide, well, I'm not going to continue then believing this religion. I'm going to become an atheist or a humanist. No, he trusted God. He trusted God. You know, probably these are the times when we're really tested. Do we really trust the Lord? It's easy to trust the Lord when all is well. It's easy to trust the Lord and read your Bible and enjoy your Bible when all is good. But when trials come, troubles come, calamities overtake us, then we're tested. And Job continued to trust God. Now I want you to notice in Job 23, this is interesting. Look at verse 8. He says, "Behold, I go forward, but he's not there. And backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him." And Job here is saying, I don't know where the Lord is in this. It's as if Job can't find the Lord in this sense. Maybe it's because he's not making sense of all that's happening, and in that sense, he's saying, I cannot see the Lord. I cannot behold the Lord. But then he says in verse 10, but he knoweth me. You know, isn't that wonderful? It's good to trust God even when you can't see. It's good to trust God even when you can't understand. We're not called to understand all things. We're called to trust God. Oh, I sometimes relive that morning and go over what I could or couldn't have done to try and prevent my brother taking his own life. But you know, I've left it with the Lord, and I'm just trusting God and holding on to the way. You see, it's as if Job's saying in verses 8 and 9, I don't know. And then he says in verse 10, but he knows. Oh yes, he knows. I don't know about tomorrow, but I know who holds tomorrow in his hands. Brothers and sisters, listen, when trouble comes, number one, worship God and bless his name. Just keep on serving, worshiping God. Keep singing the hymns. Keep praying. Keep reading the word. Keep adoring God. And then trust God. Even though you can't find him, even though you can't make sense of your situation, trust God. Trust God and hold your way. But then look, something else he did. Job 19, Job chapter 19, again verses that I'm sure you're familiar with, but let's look at them in this context. Here's Job again, and he says in verse 2 up there, he says, "How long will you vex my soul and break me in pieces with words?" And these were his three friends. I'm sure they were sincere enough, but sincerely wrong, and they were vexing his soul. But look what Job says in verse 25. "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God." What's Job doing here? He's hoping in God, and he's seeing his end. You know, at any point of time, in any psychological moment, when something happens to us, let's always remember God lives outside of time. He inhabiteth eternity. There's no past with God, really, our future with God. Everything's eternally present. He says, I am that I am. And so let's hope in God. You know, God has laid out for us in the Word the future. And I don't know what you believe about the future, but I'll tell you what I believe. I believe by the grace of God, God's going to set me down one day on the glassy sea around the throne. Now, that might even be a wonderment to me that day how I ever got there. But I'm trusting Jesus Christ and I have God's promise. That's where I'm going. I'm going to see heaven. I'm going to see Jesus. I'm going to see the throne. I'm going to see the holy angels. I'm going to see the Antichrist defeated. I'm going to see Jerusalem delivered. And these are the things God has laid out for us in the Bible. Think of the book of Revelation. Think of the great things that's coming and the great things God has laid up for us in Christ in the future. And here's Job, and in the midst of his trial and his trouble, he's saying, I know that my Redeemer liveth, and he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. Oh, Job, perhaps Job, in his, and we know this in chapter 2 and 3, Job loses for a while his sense of proportion. He's saying, cursed be the day I was born. Night I was conceived, the day I was born, let it be covered in darkness, it would be better I had never been born. But you know, the great thing is this, and this is a truth in the Bible many a time. At that psychological moment when your world is falling in, get your eye on the big things. Get your eye on the great God. Get your eye on the great plan of salvation. Get your eye on God's purpose. Get your eye on God's purpose for this world, for the entire universe. Get your eye on God's purpose for Israel. Get your eye on what God's going to do in future times. I tell you, it'll quicken your heart. Didn't the psalmist often say, Lord, quicken thou me according to thy word. Job hoped in God and saw his end. He says, this body may be destroyed. Worms may destroy this body. But in my flesh I'll see God. Because he says he's going to stand at the latter day upon the earth. Oh, dear brother and sister, if I'm speaking to someone this morning and you're going through trial, or maybe there's someone here and tomorrow morning it's going to hit you, remember these truths. They served Job well, and I believe they'll serve us well, and I know in my own experience they have served me well. Job worshipped God and blessed his name. Job trusted in God and held his way. And Job hoped in God and saw his end. And then let's go to Job 38. Job chapter 38. And what a great thing this is. Job chapter 38. You know, as I said, the Holy Spirit recorded all the words of Job's friends. And I've often been amazed at that. But it's done for a purpose. It's recorded for a purpose. And we have to listen to them. If you read the book of Job, you have to listen to them just as Job had to listen to them. And maybe it vexes your soul as it vexed his soul. But then, bless God, when you come to chapter 38, what does it say, verse 1? Then the Lord answered Job. Then the Lord answered. He had to wait, listen to all this coming from these three friends. But you know, then the Lord answered. And brothers and sisters, that's a great turning point. You see, when God speaks, when God answers, when God gives a word, you know, you might be singing a hymn, God speaks to you. You may be reading the Bible, God speaks to you. You may be listening to the preaching, and that's why it's good to keep on at the house of God. Even when trouble comes, God gives you the word. Then the Lord answered. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? You know, I don't do it now because I'm on my feet, but I used to be the postman in Portavogie for 12 years and I had a wee red van and I had a radio in it. And usually every day, Monday to Friday, 12 o'clock, I'd turn on Talkback, which is bad for your blood pressure and can be a most frustrating experience. And you listen to all it said, and you listen to the chairman and all that he says, and don't some words of wisdom come from his mouth? But you know, here's God's talk back. Then the Lord answered. I don't know about you, but I've been a Christian long enough now to know this. One verse of Scripture, one verse of Scripture, one line of Scripture can do more good than all the words of men. You know, what did Job do, number four? He listened to God and received his word. And what did God say in these verses? I encourage you to read these verses. It's all about creation. And what the Lord was really saying to Job, and indeed to his three friends, is you don't know what you're talking about. You don't know what you're talking about. And God starts asking questions. God starts asking questions. And God says, do you know why? Look at verse 19, for instance. Where is the way where light dwelleth? If I stop you on the way out this morning and I shake you with a hand and I say, well, before you go, where is the way where light dwelleth? Could you answer that question? Somebody has pointed out that we, not only do we not know the answers to some of these questions yet, we don't even know what the question means, in the sense that we're bewildered by it. Science, true science, you know, is always playing catch-up. Science eventually catches up with God. Never, listen, see this evolution dribble. Don't be too concerned about it. This man Dawkins, as we say in Ulster Scots, he is a right idiot. Really. Oh, he is? Now, I don't say that, you know, that man's an educated man. Professor at Oxford, if him and I were speaking, he could bamboozle me with big words and scientific expressions. But he's an idiot because the Bible says the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And we're going to see him fall soon, because the devil always oversteps himself. And even fellow evolutionists are getting worried about Dawkins. And in fact, they're calling him a fundamentalist, just like the fundamentalists who believe the Bible. He's a fundamentalist against the Bible. And of course, he has said that parents who teach their children the creation account in Genesis should be taken to court for child abuse. But you see, God comes here and God shows Job and his friends really their ignorance. You see, God knows all things. That's why you can trust God. God knows the end from the beginning. Don't panic. Don't run off somewhere and join the Muslims or the Hindus. Listen to God and receive his word. Then the Lord answered. And what words they are, if you read right through these final chapters, what words they are. But there's a fifth thing, finally and quickly. Turn to Job 42, the very last chapter. Okay, Job, this trouble came to Job. What calamities, one after another. When troubles come, what do we need to do? Number one, worship God and bless his name. Just keep on doing it. God hasn't changed. Or circumstances might change, but God hasn't changed. Trust God and hold your way. Hope in God and see your end. Listen to God and receive his word. And then the last thought is this, and this is wonderful. In chapter 42, if you look down there at verse 10, there the Lord's still answering Job here. And he says that he has, verse 9, accepted Job. The Lord also accepted Job. And then look at verse 10. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job, listen, when he prayed for his friends. Also the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Verse 12, so the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. What did Job do? He prayed to God and remembered others. He prayed to God and remembered others. I heard a man preach one time from the United States of America, a Baptist preacher, and he said this, I'll never forget it. He says 95% of stress is caused by thinking about yourself. And you know, I think that's right. That's why the devil in his temptation and trying to get people spiritually depressed, he gets you captivated with yourself. And you become introspective and morbid. this constant analysing yourself and putting a microscope on yourself. And you know, it's a blessed thing. It's a wonderful thing. It'll change your life if instead of thinking about yourself, you start thinking about God and others. Here's an experience I've had a number of times. Maybe I haven't felt just as blessed or encouraged as a Christian for whatever reason, maybe my own fault. But somebody from the church is in hospital. And I get my Bible and I get dressed and I jump in my car and I go up to the Ulster or the Royal. And I go along the corridors and I go into the wee room and I sit and I focus on the person in the bed and I pray with them and I read the scriptures to them. You know what happens? I forget all about myself. And I'm lifted and I'm encouraged. Listen, Job, he prayed to God and he remembered others. It's the devil's work to get you concentrating on yourself. But it's to the glory of God and your own good when you put God first, others second, and you last. But in a strange way, and this is the wonderful psychology of God, if I might call it that, or the psychology of the Bible, when you start thinking about others, it does you the world of good. You're blessed. And mind you, I've also had the experience, and I'm sure you've had it too, where you've been dog tired, but you needed to go and see someone, and as you go and see them, you forget all about your tiredness. You don't even think about it. It's the blessing of the Lord. You know, God brought Job through. These are lessons. These are principles that we should keep before us and apply them in our own life daily. And if trouble hasn't hit you yet, it's as the sparks fly upward. And you keep in mind these principles from the book of Job, and I tell you, God will help you and see you through. And you'll be a blessing, and even a blessing to others. Because Job, God turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. May God bless these thoughts to our hearts this morning for his own name's sake. Amen.